Good evening, Abayis. We're going to be learning some very, very important and relevant halachas tonight. Be'ezer Hashem, Yisbarach Shemoy, with regards to a bar talis and a shul talis. Do you make a bar on a shul talis or do you not make a bar on shul? Somebody's called up for an aliyah. Or, for instance, somebody's called up for an aliyah. Do you make a bracha on the shul talis? What if it's not a shul talis, it's your friend's, your neighbor's talis? When do you make a bracha? When do you not make a bracha on a bar talis? So these halachas will be covered tonight. Be'ezer Hashem. So let us see Sif Gimel in Shulchan Aruch Siman Yud Dalet. So Shulchan Aruch starts with the following words. Hashoyel mechaveroi. Talis. If somebody borrows a talis. She'enu mitzvieses. Which hasn't got tzitzis attached to it. Potu melehatel bo tzitzis. You are exempt from attaching tzitzis to it. Kol shlosh yom for 30 days. The ksiv, as it says in the pasuk, ksuscha v'lo shalacherim. The pasuk says ksuscha, your garment, v'lo shalacherim, yours, and that implies not of others. Aval achas shlosh yom, if it's more than 30 days, chayiv mederabonon is obligated to put on mederabonon b'pnei sheniras kishloi, because he looks like this. So again, Shulchan Aruch says a huge chiddush that a borrowed talis. Ha'shoyel talis mechaveroi. She'enu mitzias. If there's no tzitzis attached to it, potu is exempt melehatel boy tzitzis. He does not need to attach tzitzis. So let's say you get a garment with four corners, which hasn't got tzitzis to it, and you're borrowing it off your friend. You are not obligated to put on tzitzis to it for 30 days, as long as it's 30 days. Why? Because the pasuk says, tzuscha, your garment needs to have a tzitzis. Somebody else says, it doesn't need. Tzuscha v'lo shel acherim. Right. What about wearing it? If you're wearing that garment of your friend, does he need to put on tzitzis or not?
Surely it's only to wearing it.
Right. Very good. Very good. So the truth is, what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is Hashol mechaveru talis she'enu mitzitzis potu melehatel boy tzitzis. And this is just in order to avoid misconceptions of it. You're quite right. It says melehatel boy tzitzis, is exempt from putting on tzitzis onto the baguette, but definitely, you're 100% right, exactly the same halacha applies also with regards to wearing it. There's no difference at all. So what we're learning now is that you are exempt from tzitzis if it's not yours for 30 days. As long as it's not your garment, it's not going to be yours for 30 days. It's a borrowed talis. Ksuscha, your garment is obligated in tzitzis. Ksus acherim, garment of somebody else, is exempt from tzitzis. You can wear it without tzitzis on it. Yes, you can wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis to it, and it's no problem. Ksus cha, for lo ksus shel acherim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch then continues and it says, after 30 days, there's going to be an obligation. Why is that so? Why? What's the difference between 30 days and past 30 days? The answer is, you're right. Midraisa, there's no difference. Midrabanon, because if you have somebody else's talis or garment for 30 days, people don't really distinguish anymore. If you're wearing it for 1 or 2 days, people realize it's not yours. It's, you know, after 1 or 2 days, you give it back and it's the end of story. However, if you keep on wearing it for 30 days, people think that it's actually yours. So although it may have been explicit she'ela, it may have been really, it would have been genuinely, it's maybe a she'ela, a borrowed item. But if you're having it more than 30, if you're holding on to it for more than 30 days, people think it's yours. Therefore, with the rabbanon, they're obligated that after 30 days, you need to put on tzitzis, although it's not actually yours. Because of Maris Ha'ayin, Mibnei Sheniris Kesheloi. Very good question. Very good question. What do you think? Pardon? Correct. Right. Well, the truth is that as you're saying, the Gzeres HaKosov tells me, Ksuscha v'lo shel acherim teaches me that it needs to be yours. As long as it's not yours, you are exempt from tzitzis. So consequently, as long as it's not yours, it's part of tzitzis. Now, this is really a very important halacha, because we're learning that anything which is not, that if you're not owning it, if it's not yours, if it's not yours, you're not obligated to put on tzitzis. I must emphasize at this stage that there's one point that Achronim discuss over here, which remains a little bit open-ended. We find elsewhere a similar, but yet different, but similar concept that you need to own it. Where do we find that you need to own it to fulfill the mitzvah? No. Correct, absolutely correct. We know there's a halacha of shalchov with regards to dalet minim. Now, Let us explore this for a minute. Dalet minim, we know we need to own. You need to pay heavy money for your dalet minim. You need to own it. What happens if somebody is borrowing somebody? Borrowing a lent, a borrowed dalet minim. Are you fulfilling the mitzvah on Yom Tov Rishon? First the Yom Tov. Are you fulfilling the mitzvah if it's borrowed?
No, it has to be a matana.
Absolutely. You're quite right, as we discussed extensively in the simonim of Vilchas Dalet Minim, that if it's a borrowed, if I lend somebody Dalet Minim, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. You know, it needs to be properly shalcha, and if it's not yours, you know, if it's not yours, it's not. If it's a she'ela, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah, it's a she'ela. You're quite right, the only way of fulfilling the mitzvah, if it's not yours, will be with a genuine matana al manas lahachzir. You give a present with a conditional that you gave it back and you get it, you're getting it back. But if it's not a matana, if it's a borrowed item, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore, in a way, it's very similar. In a way, it's very similar. There's a condition of shalcha. If it's not yours, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Any points on that? Any O's on that? Very good. We'll get to the shul shortly. Quite right. We'll get to the shul. Okay, let us move on a little bit, and we're going to get back to that in Mitzvah Shem later.
The whole point of lulav is you're fulfilling a mitzvah's aseh by shaking the lulav and the arominim. Here, you're not fulfilling, you have an obligation to, it's not, you're wearing it, and therefore you obligated to wear it. It's talking about whether you're obligated to put the sitzes into
good.
The
very good. Your svara, which is a beautiful svara, is going to come in very handy when we get to the Mishnah Berurah shortly. Mitzvah Shem. It's a very, very good svara. Yeah, I wanted to get it. Very, very, very good. Okay, let's just carry on I would like to finish the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch for the moment before we enter the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah continues on the words that Medrabbanan, after 30 days, you are obligated to put on tzitzit, because it looks like his. The Gemara continues, what happens if somebody wants to borrow it at long term? He wants to have a permanent loan, but he doesn't want to put on tzitzit. So what he's doing is, he's giving it for 28 days or 25 days, and he's returning it for a day, and then after he's doing it again 25 days, giving it back for a day, and then again 25 days, and so on and so forth. So would that work or not? Does he need to be with the Rabbanon put on tzitzis or not? So here the Ramah says, im ichziru toich shloishim, if it was returned within 30 days, v'chozav alokchoi, and then he gets it again back, then einu mitztarif does not add up, it does not join, because you ultimately have done it less than 30 days. Each time is less than 30 days. So there is no xerov drabonon. Rak b'inyon shloishim yom retzufim, it's only going to have a drabonon requirement of putting on tzitzis if it's shloishim yom, if it's 30 days retzufim in one go. So if you do 29 days and then you break off for a day and then again 29 days and then you break off a day, so then the halach will be, don't have to put on tzitzis. Yeah.
What happens if he's in the middle of 30 days and then he goes to another place and then does he have to?
If the halacha rule, the halacha is, if it's less than 30 days, you don't need to put on. If it's more than 30, you will need to put on. Said to Shulchan Aruch, the last few words of the Sif, She'elok she'im etziyetzes, if you're borrowing it whilst the tzitzit is attached to it, mevorech aleihu miyad, you can make a brocha immediately. So again, she'elok, if it's borrowed, she'im etziyetzes, when there is tzitzit attached to it, mevorech, can make a brocha aleihu miyad immediately. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Kotten Tes. That's really a fascinating Mishnah Berurah over here. It's an incredible Mishnah Berurah. It says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Test. This is really something to think about. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Test says, Hamatel Potu, you're exempt from Test. Borrowed tzitzis is exempt. Says the Mishnah Berurah the following word. The Hamatel bought tzitzis. If somebody puts on tzitzis on a borrowed tzitzis. So again, if somebody has got a tzitzis which is less than 30 days, which are exempt from tzitzis, but you are putting on tzitzis, umevorech, and you are making a brach on it, lohivs, he didn't lose anything out. Why is that? K'moi noshim, like women, shecholis levorech al mitzvah man gomer, like women can make a brach, according to the Ramah. According to the Ramah, not according to the Shulchan, but according to the Ramah, women can make brach on time-bound mitzvahs, just as women can make a brach on matzahs, on shofar, on lulav, they can make a brach on it. Although it's time-bound, women, they're not really obligated. Time-bound mitzvah, women are not obligated. But nevertheless, if they do fulfill the mitzvah, they're entitled to make brachas. That's how the Ramat baskins. So he says, like k'moy noshim, like women, which are exempt from mitzvah zishma and gomah from time by mitzvah, but they can make a brach if they wish to do so, then, so similarly also, you can make a brach and you can put on tzitzis on which are borrowed. So I'm reading that again. V'amatel bat tzitzis, you attach a tzitzis, and he makes a brach on borrowed tzitzis, lo hefse, didn't lose schar at all, he didn't lose out, k'mo noshim like women, she'cholis levorich, that can make a brach on mitzvah zishma and gomah, on time by mitzvahs, af, although, sheptur, they are exempt. Consequently, he can't go out on Shabbos, which is in public domain, to know you will beg it because it's beautiful for the garment. So we're learning over here a Mishnah Berurah that teaches us the following. Really, a borrowed item is exempt from tzitzis. A borrowed garment is exempt from tzitzis. Because there's no mitzvah. But nevertheless, you can fulfill the mitzvah with it. You can make a brach on it. You can attach tzitzis to it. Why is that? Because it's similar to women, which are, we can make a bracha on time-bound mitzvahs. Rabbosai, what do you think about this Mishnah Berurah?
It's clearly similar, it's not the same.
Very good. Why is it not the same?
Because there is no deraisa, and you can't be yotze. You're never giving the time this mitzvah deraisa at all.
Right.
You know, well, you could be, unlike women who has a certain degree of chiyuv.
Right. She's saying, you are asking... you're asking the comparison between women's fulfillment of time bar mitzvahs is very different than at fulfilling mitzvah tzitzis on a borrowed tzitzis. You're saying that the comparison seems very, very bizarre.
He's comparing it, he's saying it's like, but it's not the
same. Right,
so
right.
It is like.
Okay, it's a valid point. Yeah, what do you want to say?
It was an exclusion.
Right.
When legs are not excluded from the mitzvah,
it's possible. Very good. Rabbi Isai, the way that Achronim ask on this Mishnah Berurah, they say, can you make a brach on a borrowed Dalet Minim? First day of Sukkot?
No.
You can't. So what's, why not? Shalcha. It's not yours. You can't fulfill a mitzvah. It's not yours. So what's going to be the end of that? So therefore, the question is obvious. If Shalcha tells me you can't fulfill the mitzvah with it, if it's not yours, then surely you should have the same taina also on tzitzis, which is not yours. Ksuscha excludes it. If it's not your garment, it's exempt from the mitzvah. If it's not your garment, it's exempt. So why can you make a bracha on the tzitzis, which is not yours? How can you? How can you attach tzitzis and make a bracha on it? Ksuscha v'lo shel achirim. That's the way that Achronim asked the question, Rabbi Yisai. Good kashan. Pele. It's a pele to give Mishnah Berurah. It's a penalty of Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
Unless you know it's Taka Patur, not exclusion.
Right. That might be the kibun. Yeah.
Well, when the Chachamim were Gozer Brochas altogether, Stammer, they were Gozer Brochas Derabonim, all Brochas Derabonim, like a special Brochas Derabonim and borrowed Titus because they put it in a different category.
Right.
They didn't feel they needed to do that with Lilith.
Right.
Maybe
you're distinguishing between actual gzeiras of the takonas abroches between the two. Could be. Your svara, can you repeat your svara again?
Kind of. With the Arvaminim, there is a mitzvah aser to actually shake the lulav and the esrog and all the Arvaminim. Here it's slightly different because this exclusion here is referring to putting on the sitzes onto the talus. And it's not really a mitzvah's aser to go and put it on. If you're wearing it, you have to put it on. There's two separate parts to this.
It's,
I've got it clear 100%, but it's a part of putting on the sitzes and part of wearing the sitzes as well.
Right, there's that as well. So all those svaras are svaras to think about. Nosson Geshtetner has a chubby, touches on both your points a little bit. It's a bit open-ended, and the question, if somebody got a good, precise answer to that question, please do let us know, because it's hard to find exactly a good getter, but it's something which the Achronim discuss. If you're over Shabbos running out of subjects to, it's a really powerful question. It's a very, very, what's the exact difference between tzitzis, that ksuscha is memaited, but nevertheless you can make a bracha, you can fulfill the mitzvah with it, But by Dalet Minim, it excludes me completely and you can't fulfill the mitzvah with a borrowed Dalet Minim. This is a bit of a kasha. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah now is in Sifkot Yud Aleph, goes into the topic of a borrowed talis, and we are now going to enter the discussion of Shul Talesim. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Sifkot Yud Aleph and Mishnah Berurah. Some say that you can't make a bracha. Shelo levarich elim kein nosn la beferish matana manas laachzia. So he said that our opinions hold that actually a bar talis you can't make a bracha on it. You actually need the matana manas laachzia. We don't pass like that, but the Mishnah Berurah does feel that he wants to mention it. Okay. But the majority of the poskim hold. They hold like the Shulchan Aruch. Now comes the next three lines, which are very crucial. The reason is says the Mishnah Berurah as follows: that if you're borrowing somebody else's talis, okay. Now we are entering halacha lemaisa. If you are in shul and you are called up, say, for an aliyah, or for instance, you're maybe aliyah, we're going to, maybe let's leave out aliyah for a minute. You are to daven in shul, and you're coming in shul, and you realize you haven't got a talis. You now see there's a talis lying around of somebody who davens in a different minyan, he davened the early Ashkama minyan, or you know he's not well this Shabbos, you know he's not, he doesn't need the talis. Can you just grab that talis and make a brach on it? Can you or can you not? Can you take your friend's talis without having asked him specific permission, take that talis, make a bracha, and wear it? Can you or can you not? Pardon? Why is that? Right. The Shulchan Aruch says, "She'elok shemitzias." If you're borrowing a talis which has it, you can make a bracha. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah is masbir over here. That the answer is yes, you can. And the reason is because if a person needs to fulfill the mitzvah, then we assume that the person won't mind that you take the tzitzis. He won't mind that you use the tzitzis, and he won't mind that you fulfill the mitzvah in the best way. Now, in order to fulfill the mitzvah in the best way, is if you acquire it. So there is like an umdana, there's an understanding that he's letting using it, and you can make a brach on it, and you can wear somebody else's talis. What? Pardon? Yeah, okay, we'll get to that point. We'll get to that point shortly. Yeah, maybe I've exaggerated at this point, but you can definitely take it, yeah. Shul Salesim, hold on a minute about Shul Salesim. What do you want to say about Shul Salesim?
You can't just assume that someone who lives as Talis and Shul is happy for you to, number one, borrow it, and certainly not being mucking it to you, Almanach Yatzir. So, on that basis, number one.
Right.
And number two, the Mishnah Berurah is being close to himself here. Because
why is that?
He's saying here that there's some concept of you're being kind of Almanach Lahakzir. And on the other hand, he said before that you can make a bracha on a borrowed talis.
Correct. So here he seems to be saying, and that's the next line, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying over here, that since there are machmirim, the understanding is that you actually, that the umdana goes that far. But the Mishnah Berurah does continue, and he says, if you can ask permission from the talis, you should. But it doesn't, you should ask permission. But if you cannot ask permission, yes, according to Mishnah Berurah, you can take the talis and fulfill the mitzvah that you can make a brach on it. The Mishnah Berurah does say this is only in a case that you actually need that you need the talis for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. He does say where you don't need the talis for the fulfillment of mitzvah, such as what he calls the mishum kovoid, such as when you have an aliyah, you don't really need the talis for aliyah. It's just respectful. So there could be that you can't actually make a bracha on it because there's no such umdana that a person is going to be he's going to give it to you necessarily to make a bracha. But this is all with regards to somebody else's talis. So the Mishnah Berurah is mekel, I'm repeating that. The Mishnah Berurah says that you are allowed to take somebody else's talis without permission if you need the fulfillment of the mitzvah. You can take it and you can make a brach on it because there's an understanding that people don't mind. Now, I want to briefly, as a footnote, although this is what the Mishnah Berurah paskens, I must say that some of the mamish contemporary poskim ask and question as to whether this is true nowadays as well. Rabbi Sai, what do you think? If you leave your talis, your beautiful, expensive Shabbos talis, either with an atura or without an atura, there is a talis. If you leave your talis on the table, do you mind? Tell me the truth. Or do you not mind if somebody starts wearing it? And it's not just could be anybody, even people who you don't particularly, not your best friend. Do you mind if they take the talis for shachris, lining, and musaf, or do you not mind? You don't mind? You don't mind? You makpid. You are makpid. Many of the poskim say...
Depends how they fold it up afterwards.
Depends how they fold it up. Yeah.
And where I left it.
Right. Very good. Many of the contemporary poskim say that since nowadays people, the talisim are much cleaner and we're much more makpid about our talisim, you can't just assume that people don't mind. They say nowadays it's not the same if you give it in the wool, it's hard to clean and a lot of the stains don't come off. And it's not quite the same once you got dirty and you clean it, you didn't. Sometimes they shrink. And therefore, the poskim say, you can't just assume that you can, some of the contemporaries, is unlike what the Mishnah Berurah paskens over here. But many of the contemporary, mamash contemporary poskim say, just to take somebody else's talis might not be the, it might not be, might not, but this is unlike what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah is matir. Yeah.
I mean, Mishnah Berurah, it's something which is easily replaceable.
Even if it's paper. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Right. It's true. With emesis, it's going to be touched and sieved out a little bit, what you're saying. Right. But this is what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. I want to point out what the Mishnah Berurah says at the very end, because this is really, really important. The Mishnah Berurah goes in the bottom and he speaks about talis shel kohal. I'd like to read the last four lines of the Mishnah Berurah. I will be talis shel kohal. A talis of, which belongs to a communal talis. Ke'ein shalon, like ours. Hamatzus bevat haknesis, which are common in shuls. Tzorech levorich olav lekula alma. You can take it and you can make a bracha on a shul talis. Tzorech, you must. Afiluk shaloi v'shoi, even if you're just wearing it, lavo lifnei atevu to daven before the omot. Olav las latehu yevin aliyah. Mishum the talis shall call, because a talis, a communal talis, she called a diet to the hachikonu mitchila. He was bought for that specific purpose. She called Mishaloi Vesh. Everybody who wants to wear it, Sheyeh, Shaloi, should be his, like my Essex, like an Essex. So Mishnah Berurah paskens here very, very clearly and explicitly that a shul talis, if you want to wear a shul talis, be it for Naliyah, be it for davening, be it for whatever it may be, you, tzorich, you must make and you can make a bracha on that talis. Rabbi said, this is what Mishnah Berurah paskens. Lemaisa, we don't do it, yeah.
So therefore, on a tarnis, say you get called up to open the Avinu Malkeinu.
Right.
Where you make a bracha.
Right. According to the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, right. According to the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Isai, this is what you should do.
Why do you not say you don't do it?
I think that a lot of people, when they get called up for an aliyah,
yeah, but
what do you think? What is the minhag? Why do you think
people?
Yeah. You say beautiful. Right.
So you say you don't have to metaltel.
Right, very good. So, yeah. Very good. Very interesting.
With the knowledge that you have a talit of shul waiting for you.
So, right.
So you have to.
Very good. Beautiful. Yeah. Very good. So you're right. According to this, is very interesting. According to the Mishnah Berurah, yes, this is absolutely correct. You take a shul talit, you make a broch on it, even if it's for just a psicha. Now, I must say that I think that we agree that in many shuls, the meaning is not to. I think that in many shuls, the minhag is if you get called up, you don't start making it. The question, of course, is a little bit, why is that so? Why is it that people, that many people, don't tend to make a brocha when they get called up and they use a shul talis? Again, the Mishnah Berurah is quite explicit that you should. Why is it that some people don't? So I think that, any suggestions, Rabbi Isai? Why is it that many people don't make a brocha on a shul talis? Maybe. No, it's a true point. It's going to take another half a minute until you're ready and it's not ready. Just 70 people waiting for you. I accept that. Good point. Yeah?
Mr. Brewer said earlier that unless it's for a specific mitzvah, you wouldn't make a bracha. Well, there's no point in davening where everyone's got tittus cotton on anyway.
Right.
And for it's purely a covered thing for an aliyah. And the minhag to wear a talis from Mincha and Maariv is completely totally a minhag. So there's no mitzvah being...
Even so, the Mishnah Berurah says, even if there's no, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah, nevertheless, there's an inyan. Nevertheless, you can make a bracha. That's the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Even if it's just lavo lifnei atev, v'lalos
latoyim. Now you're saying tzorech, which is different to Yaakov.
Right. Right.
And up above, you said you wouldn't.
Yeah. Because it's different between talis shel kohal or not. By talis shel kohol, that's a mishnah mul paskins. A communal talis is paskins slightly different than with regards to. Right, but the Mishnah Berurah says regards to talis shel kohol that people have got the understanding that when they buy a talis shel kohol, it's an understanding that makne to everyone. The question remains a little bit: why is that so that people are not makbet? So if you approach, maybe we'll touch on it on Sunday. Beis Hashem, just to recap a little what we covered, we learned Beis Hashem that shoyel mechaveiro talis and mitzias, a talis which is less than 30 days, you don't need to put on tzitzis. You can wear it without tzitzis. If it's more than 30 days. Because the pasuk says, "Ksus chaver shel acherim." We learned that if it's more than 30 days, with the rabbanon you should. If it's the Ramah says that if it's less than 30 days and you keep on going back and forth, or it's less than 30 days, then it's not mitzaref. And we also learned shelosh shel mitzietzes. If you're borrowing it whilst it's mitzuyitz, you can make a bracha on it. We spoke about the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, the interesting Mishnah Berurah that says that if you make a bracha whilst it's exempt, you nevertheless you can make a bracha, and it's similar to noshim tamba mitzvah for noshim. You can make a bracha on it, and it you get chav for it. We then spoke about the communal talis, that a communal talis will do really. It's borrowed, but nevertheless, there's an understanding communal talis that everybody buys it for a das to be makne to everybody else, and therefore, if you according to Mishnah Berurah, which doesn't seem to be the minhag olam, but according to Mishnah Berurah, if a person gets an aliyah or uses a shul talis for any other purpose, he should make a bracha as Mishnah Berurah paskens. I wish everybody good Shabbos.